Our first lesson this morning comes from Psalms 107, verses 1 through 9, 35 through 37, and 43. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those he redeemed from trouble and gathered in the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south.
Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to an inhabited town. Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress.
He led them by a straight way until
they reached an inhabited town. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind.
For he satisfies the thirsty and the hungry. He fills with good things.
He turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water. And there he lets the hungry live, and they establish a town to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield.
Let those who are wise give heed to those things. And consider the steadfast love of the Lord.
A scripture lesson from Mark chapter 8. In those days there was again a great crowd without anything to eat. He called his disciples and said to them, I have compassion for the crowd, because they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come from a great distance. His disciples replied, how can one feed these people with bread here in the desert? He asked them, how many loaves do you have? They said, 7. Then he ordered the crowd to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and after giving thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute, and they distributed them to the crowd. They also had a few small fish, and after blessing them, he ordered that these too should be distributed. They ate and were filled, and they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. Now there were about 4,000 people, and he sent them away. The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning. I'm Jeff Kephart, and I co-chair the Mission Commission with Eric Kreuter. The focus of today's service is the Hunger Action Congregation Certification Effort, an activity sponsored by our commission and led by Ellen Miles. Before Ellen introduces the team and its objectives, I'd like to give you some perspective on how this effort fits into the broader Mission Commission vision that we've been developing and implementing over the last 3 years. In January of 2018, our commission met with Ellen Sherby of the Presbyterian World Mission. She educated us about a mission framework consisting of 3 pillars: hands-on, empowered partnership, and advocacy. You can think of hands-on as an asymmetric relationship between giver and receiver. Someone is hungry, you feed them fish. Empowered partnership is more of a symmetric relationship. Think of it as teaching to fish, but also learning in the process. And I associate with this also the notion of intellectual and spiritual growth. To quote Father Greg Boyle, we go to the margins not to make a difference, but to be made different. So it's also about us changing in the process. And then there's advocacy. Think of it as noticing that there is a problem with fish scarcity and trying to diagnose the problem and address it in some way. So we applied this framework to our existing mission activities. The dinners we serve at Jan Peak, Midnight Run, things of that nature obviously fit into the category of hands-on. Activities like the pantry and mission trips, these have strong elements of hands-on, but they also reach into empowered partnership. And then the only advocacy effort that we really had going was writing letters for Amnesty International. So after looking at this, we formulated a set of goals. First, to grow into empowered partnership and advocacy, and I really mean grow into, not abandon all the good things we've been doing already, to celebrate them, embrace them, and build upon them. To deepen the scope and meaningfulness of local mission, to better interconnect the various activities and establish a web of relationships, not just among those activities, but in so doing, to establish relationships among other entities within the church, other commissions, and then to even reach outside of our church potentially to religious and non-religious organizations in our community. And you can look at various of the new initiatives we've started. The Garden of Hope, for example, I think exemplifies all of these. Not only does the Garden of Hope mesh well with the pantry, but it also fosters relationships with other like-minded organizations in our community. So early this year, Tammy brought to our attention the Hunger Action Congregation Certification Program, which provides a framework that we felt could help us accomplish all the goals that we'd set out within a certain scope of food justice. So as Ellen and her team will explore in more detail, there are six areas of this certification program, and here's my view of how they fit into the three-pillar framework. Hunger alleviation, which part of the text that explains what this is says with an eye toward long-term structural solutions. So look at that. It's reaching towards advocacy. So it's sort of in the hands-on category, but also it brings us to advocacy. Development assistance obviously fits well within the category of advocacy. Hunger action or education leads towards faithful action. So clearly, that also is a basis that we can use to get towards advocacy. But note that it is also directed by affected people and partners. So it's very much grounded in empowered partnership. Lifestyle integrity, I see as about empowered partnership in the sense of really addressing both intellectual and spiritual growth and faith. Corporate and public policy witness, again, fits into the advocacy category, but note also that it is about promoting self-development, which also places it squarely within empowered partnership. And then finally, worship, prayer, and education. So, which again is very much about faith. So to summarize, this six-part framework gives us a great template that's well-aligned with our goals and helps us. It helps us grow into empowered partnership and advocacy. It establishes a coherency. It establishes a sort of core or connective tissue that is grounded in faith. And I think that this really distinguishes what we're doing here from what you would get from a typical secular charity. And again, we're doing this not just to get that certification paper and check in all the boxes, but because this framework inspires us to improve and grow our mission. So I feel inspired, I feel excited, and I hope that after you hear a little bit more from Ellen and her team, you'll feel that way too. Thank you.
About a year ago, I stumbled upon information on the PCUSA website about Hunger Action Congregations. As Jeff mentioned, we have been talking about ways to bring our framework to life, and this really seemed to fit. It resonated with me, and I hope it resonates with you. This congregation has long had a commitment to food justice. We do a lot, more than you probably realize, as you'll see in just a few minutes. But we started asking ourselves if we could do more. Could we do more than feed people in need? Could we be more than a great neighbor, if you will? Could we leverage our resources and amplify our voices to put more focus on the root causes of hunger and perhaps help build a better neighborhood? Becoming a Hunger Action congregation seemed to help us start to answer these questions. The purpose of the Hunger Action congregation certification process is to acknowledge and celebrate the faithful work we are doing to alleviate hunger and end its causes, and to encourage us to be even more holistic and justice-oriented in our ministries going forward. Seemed to be just what we were looking for. So, what is a Hunger Action congregation? The PCUSA has identified six areas of hunger and its causes: hunger alleviation, development assistance, hunger education, lifestyle integrity, corporate and public policy witness, and worship. We can become a certified Hunger Action congregation if we are doing activities in each of these six areas. In May, Session proposed a resolution to support becoming a Hunger Action congregation, which Session approved. We solicited volunteers and created a Hunger Action congregation team, which we launched in July. Let me introduce you to the team: Patrick Burns, Judy Chessa, Pam Dariff, Stephanie Hare, Connie Knapp, Vinnie Wallace, Kathy Winstead, and myself. The team is going to take us through each of the six areas and highlight the work we've been doing and share some ideas on what we might do in the future. Kathy Winstead will get us started.
The first area in Hunger Action certification is hunger alleviation. This is defined as providing food in a dignified way with an eye toward long-term structural solutions. As you all know, we do very well in hunger alleviation through our food pantry. We're serving more people than ever through this pandemic. We also are growing lots of fresh produce in our Garden of Hope. We're serving residents in a dignified way once a month at the Jan Peek House. We're offering a noontime meal to needy people in Peekskill through the Salvation Army. We're serving food and conversation and friendship with the people on the streets in New York City through the Midnight Run. We're collecting soup at our Super Bowl Sundays, and we're collecting money for the One Great Hour of Sharing. This is the Presbyterian Hunger Program that serves people in developing countries all around the world. We haven't done a whole lot on the part about long-term structural solutions, but we've been talking in the group about maybe running nutrition cooking classes for our food pantry clients, talking about maybe doing some things with other food pantries in the area. And also, we could just do more education about the One Great Hour of Sharing, try to give a little bit more funding to that program, because they not only feed people in developing countries, but they also provide ways, they help people with ways to help themselves get better nutrition.
Hi. The next area is development assistance, which consists of addressing the root causes of hunger and poverty through equitable and sustainable development. Systemic and chronic hunger is not just caused by an absence of food. Causes of hunger can be economic, societal, or environmental, just to name a few. The hands-on work that we have done with Bridges to Community and DOOR in Atlanta and Chicago, as well as our financial support of Bridges, Presbyterian Disaster Assistance, and Rural and Migrant Ministries, are examples of our involvement in this area. The Hunger Action team will be discerning ways to deepen our commitment in this area as we go forward.
Hello. Hunger education is the next area. We have been fairly active in this area over the last few years through Faithful Life book studies, TED Talks, and our racial injustice and SNAP challenges. The opportunity we have in this area is to use this education and awareness as a call to action. How can we continue to act in ways that impact the causes of hunger and those directly affected?
Hi again. Lifestyle integrity is also an area where we do a lot. Thanks to our Green Faith Initiative, this has really become a part of who we are as a congregation. Adopting sustainable personal and corporate lifestyle to ensure justice and protect all God's creation is a cornerstone of many of the decisions that we make on how we operate as a church. In order to deepen our commitment to sustainability, the team has discussed ways we can help make the connections between our personal choices and the choices we make as an industrialized country and the impact that those choices have on those around us.
Corporate and public policy witness is where we have done the least and where we have the most opportunity. Last month, I shared info on the Feeding America Pledge and how you can advocate for SNAP funding with your congressional leader. If you haven't had an opportunity to look at those yet, please do so. The Hunger Action Congregation will be looking for more opportunities to lend our voices to advocate and campaign for changes in policies and practices to end hunger and its causes, promote self-development, and care for creation.
Worship is the last of the six areas. We will make more opportunities like today to incorporate into our worship how we can help to end hunger and its causes. Through prayer, education, and preaching, our goal is to always keep ending hunger a top priority.
Good morning. My name is Pam Dariff, and I'm a member of the Hunger Action team. I'd like to share today with you why I decided to get involved with the Hunger Action Challenge. Back in March, when New York was shutting down because of the virus, our confirmation class was planning to do a breakfast run into the city. We had the toiletries, clothing, and meals ready to go. We had to make a big decision that morning, though, whether or not to go because of the virus. Discussing the pros and cons, someone said, "I wonder what Jesus would do." We all know he would feed the hungry. So a dedicated group of volunteers made the trip into the city. One of the hungry neighbors on an empty street of New York City called these brave servants angels. This team knew who their neighbors were. This spring and summer, we saw a doubling of the number of families coming to our food pantry. We saw how the COVID-19 crisis had created a really scary time for our neighbors struggling with hunger and financial problems. Our pantry crew went into action and made a big difference to our local neighbors. We have a good start being a Hunger Action congregation. I bet many of you have helped family and friends who were sheltering at home and not able to get to the food stores. There are many stories of helping hands, warming hearts by thoughtful actions. I get emotional about all the wonderful support you gave to others during this pandemic. As neighbors, we saw a need and went into action. We got the spirit to be a Hunger Action congregation. It's easy to get complacent when you feel you are doing a pretty good job of feeding the hungry, but the pandemic has showed us how vulnerable our local, city, country, and world neighbors are when it comes to hunger. So how can I say no when asked to join this Hunger Action team? So as good neighbors, let's not be complacent. Let's continue to ask ourselves what else we can do to end hunger and its root causes. Join me and say yes to the Hunger Action Challenge. Thank you.
So here are our asks of you. Continue to provide your support for our current ministries related to food justice. We do awesome work, and we can't miss a beat. The need is just too great. Help us discern how we can more actively support and ways to address the root causes of hunger. We are looking for a few more folks to join our team, so please let us know if you're interested. Challenge us to think beyond ourselves, to partner with other churches and civic organizations, to lend our voices to the fight for food justice here in Westchester and beyond. And finally, commit with us to becoming a Hunger Action congregation. Please join me in reciting the covenant. As disciples of a loving God who inspires us to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God, we commit to faithful action to end hunger and address its root causes.
I want to thank our Hunger Action team for their leadership in worship today and thank them for the ways in which they are helping to educate us on what it means to be an intentional Hunger Action congregation. They remind us through the Hunger Action commitment pieces that we are can enter into more intentionally and think about next steps in the way in which we do ministry that alleviates hunger and its root causes. It is good news when we can hand a bag of food to people, and yet at the same time, we are called to ask, why do we need to hand food to people? And both of those things are important for the ministry that God is calling us to do. As I think about this Hunger Action congregation commitment that we are talking about today, it reminds me that we are not just simply addressing hunger in its root causes because it's kind of a good thing to do. It is a good thing to do. But we do it because it is central to our faith. It's central to who we are as followers of Jesus Christ. In our passage today from Mark chapter 8, Jesus was with a great crowd of people who didn't have anything to eat. And he looked at them and then he said to his disciples, I have compassion for the crowd because they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. Jesus looked at the crowd of people and he had compassion on them. That is the invitation of our scripture passage today. It is to look at hunger not as something out there that is so big, but to look at it in terms of people, to have compassion for those who don't always get 3 meals a day, who have to wonder sometimes where their next meal will come from, who have to sometimes make choices between food and other things they must spend their money on. Jesus, in our passage, looked at this crowd of people and realized they weren't going to make it home on their own. They didn't have the food to help them return to their homes. And so he looked at his disciples and he said, I want to have compassion on them. And in good kind of fashion, the disciples say back to Jesus, how can one feed these people with bread here in the desert? Now, they were asking the question in kind of a way to say, I don't know what we can do about this. But they were also asking a really great question that invites us to find answers and to listen to God's Spirit for the next answer for us. How can one feed these people with bread here in the desert? Perhaps that is the real question that underlies a Hunger Action congregation. It's the question that leads us to seek the next answer. How can one feed these people with bread here in the desert? That's not just a question that says, like the disciples, we have nothing here but a few loaves of bread, and this is a great crowd. They're also asking the question that invites us to listen for how God is calling us to find that next answer, to be faithful with the resources we have been given. You see, the real resource with those disciples wasn't their bread. It was the person they followed. It was Jesus Christ. He reminded them that he is a God of abundance. He reminded them that when he had compassion, he meant to do something so that that compassion turned into real ministry with and for the people who had been with him. That is our call as a Hunger Action congregation. It is not simply to pat ourselves on the back and say, look at all the food we have passed out, or look at the ways in which we cook things and we make it available when somebody is hungry. Those are good things. But it is to put compassion into action. That's what bags of food and meals prepared really tell us. That's what it means to go on a midnight run. We are putting compassion into action. How can one of us feed all these people? Well, we don't know the answer to that, but we know that when we have the compassion of Jesus Christ, we can begin to ask that question and look for the answers that are already right in front of us with the resources that God has given us and the commitment that we have to embody Jesus Christ in our lives for this world God loves. So let me invite you to also ask the question that the disciples asked. How can one feed these people with bread here in the desert? And let's ask it first from that place that feels like our resources are sparse. We don't have anything else to give. We only have a little bit and it's not going to make any difference. But then let's begin to ask that same question. How can one feed these people with bread here in the desert? But let's ask it as people of faith, people of a God of abundance, people who follow Jesus Christ and who want to enact his compassion for this world that God loves. And then let's begin to look at our world with the compassion that Jesus had. And let's begin to find the next answer to this question so that we are not a people of scarcity, but a people who are offering God's abundant life in all the ways that we can, so that we may be a part of alleviating hunger and its root causes and creating the world that God intends. Amen.